RadioInfluence.com.
Flavor, flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. This is my podcast where I get to really pretty much assemble all my notes from the whole weeks of talking on the radio and recap all the things that we've been talking about, all the relevant and somewhat irrelevant stuff that's been happening in our particular world. Some of the big stories that have happened this week, starting off with a little sports, the whole Urban Meyer thing with Urban Meyer, you know, being suspended 3 games for failing to report domestic abuse and deliberately lying. In the lack of tolerance in this Me Too movement and the culture that we're trying to develop, I think Ohio State should be embarrassed, because saying that he did it, and he obviously did it because he took 3 games and he didn't fight it, to say he did that and to have him on your staff is a problem. Because the rest of everybody else in our world are having zero tolerance, yet NCAA football and Ohio State football is not going to, you know, follow suit. And for Urban Meyer, and I've listened to some people talk about this situation, and some people don't think that it's his job to worry about his coaches. Well, you're wrong. Because if you're a head coach in the NCAA and you're standing up in front of 110 potential men and try to teach them how to be men and leaders of men, you can't allow somebody to domestically abuse their significant other, okay? That can't happen. That is not okay anymore. It's been okay for a long time, and I think finally it's to a point now where it can't be okay anymore. And Ohio State should be embarrassed with themselves, because listen, I said the same thing when Jameis Winston got suspended his 3 games. The NFL should be ashamed of themselves. If he did what he did, give him the 6 games. All right? So when this whole thing came out with Urban Meyer, I said on the Mike Calter show, they're going to slap on the wrist and give him 3 games just to kind of look like they give a shit. And they really don't. And I think that's actually sad. But keep your eye on that. I don't think anything else is going to happen. Listen, Ohio State had to make a decision, and their decision is one of money and one of success. Urban Meyer, you know, he equates to tens of millions of dollars for that university. So either you swallow your pride and deal with it, or you kick him to the curb and start all over. And they decided to swallow their pride and deal with it. So they're going to have to deal with all the backlash that's going to come from all the media and all the people around our beloved country. So, you know, They're fine. They sold their soul, and we'll see how the whole thing turns out. The funny part is Urban Meyer is probably the second best college football coach in the world other than Nick Saban, and nobody like him. Gator fans don't like him, and he won a championship here. Ohio State fans don't even really like him, because I think he's a snake. I don't think he's a snake. I'm pretty much positive that he's a snake. So I'm not an Ohio State fan. I'm a Big Ten fan. I went to Indiana, but I'll definitely be keeping my eyes open on all the things that are happening over there with Nick Saban, with Urban Meyers, and Ohio State. Now, I rarely talk about the Rays, and it's for good reason, because nobody gives a shit. The Rays are pretty damn good, guys and girls. They have young pitching. They got the 6th best ERA in baseball. Last time I looked, and I don't look too often, I think there were 5 games or 500. It may be better than that. They may be worse than that. And I think they're averaging 14,000 fans, which puts them last in the league. And during this time where our young baseball team that has, we're pretty much putting out a AAA team out there, and they're fighting against Major League Baseball. And during this time where Kevin Cash is doing a fantastic job of rounding these young baseball players up, ain't nobody going to watch. Yeah, we're going to talk about a new stadium. Shame on you. We don't deserve a new stadium. If this was anywhere else happening, people would be out there watching this young baseball team. Am I to blame too? Yep. But I ain't the one. I don't go watch baseball. But all you out there that are clamoring for this new stadium that you're going to go to, I never said I'm going to go to it. I didn't say that. I don't think it works. But all you guys saying that this stadium is going to work in Hillsborough County and Ybor City, you better get your ass over to Tropicana before they just give our baseball team away. Once again, I said many, many times, I just don't think we deserve it. I don't think we deserve our beloved baseball team because they're playing their asses off and ain't nobody out there watching it, that's for sure. Now, everybody remembers the name Richie Incognito. Remember way back when he had the issue with the tackle beside him, can't remember his name now, from the Dolphins, and supposedly bullied him out of the locker room, and they both ended up out of the locker room, and Incognito ended up having a pretty good career. Went to Buffalo. Well, his father passed, and Richie Incognito, I've always said, listen, is he a bully? Yeah, hell yeah. You're looking for bullies, go in an NFL locker room. That's the first place I would look for bullies. But if you're a bully among bullies, then I think you might have some mental problems, and it's clear to me Richie Incognito has mental problems. His father passed. Obviously, that's very sad, and he was in the funeral home pointing imaginary guns at people, telling them he's going to kill them and tell them that he has a gun in his car and he's threatening people at a funeral home. So anyways, he gets arrested and dude's just, he's batshit crazy. He's been that for a long, long time. I actually defended him when all that stuff came down with the bullying. But then I heard stories about Richie Incognito later on about some of his racist rants that he has in the locker rooms and all those kind of things like that. And I'm definitely not a Richie Incognito fan anymore. I liked him for a bit. I don't mind the way he plays. That's all good. But as far as him as a person, I mean, you could have him. I don't want him. I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to pick him up after that, because that's just severely, severely damaged goods. So Richie, good riddance. Good riddance. You're going to do something, now that you're out of football, you're going to do something really, really stupid, and you're going to end up in jail, and that's just going to be it, and you're going to be gone. Now, for you golf fans out there, I ain't loved with an ED, playing golf. I don't anymore. I don't have time or patience, so I gave the game up. I've always said that Tiger Woods is golf. And without golf, without Tiger Woods, golf is really almost nothing. Not nothing, but it's pretty close. Now, golf is realizing that, and they're coming up in November with a pay-per-view with Tiger Woods against Phil Mickelson. It's going to be a $9 or $10 million winner take all. I'm going to watch it. I mean, really, it's going to be on DirecTV, I guess. Listen, if you have some downtime and you're, I don't know if anybody's going to congregate to watch that, but that's all we really watch. All we really watch is Tiger Woods, because the last major when Tiger Woods was in it, I watched from beginning to end. Okay. And Krapa, the guy who won, or Krika, or whatever his name is, I feel bad. I can't pronounce his name because he's won three majors. Nobody knows him. And Tiger came in second, and everybody just watched Tiger come in second. So, like I said before, Tiger Woods is golf, and that's, I don't know if that's ever going to change. Never. Now, I do a bi-monthly segment on the daytime show. And, I don't know if it's the same demographics as I have on this podcast. The daytime show is really a lot of housewives and people sitting in their house midday. So I do, a bi-monthly segment on there. Sometimes Corey Dillon will be there. And I'll be there with Cindy Edwards and the great Jerry Penicoli. So we sit there and we talk about some different stories that have gone on, really throughout the week. And the big story we talked about this week was Aja Sargento, who, if you remember that name, accused Harvey Weinstein of, improperly seducing her way back when. She was one of the main, names that came up, Aja Sargento. And I guess she was dating Anthony Bourdain when he died. So I don't know a whole lot about this young lady. Here's why I'm bringing her up. she was one of them that accused Harvey Weinstein, yet they found out that she paid $380,000-ish to a young man who she supposedly seduced on a movie set. Now, while I'm on a daytime show with the lovely Cindy Edwards and thinking that all these young ladies are watching TV, it just came to me. How hard is it to rape a 17-year-old boy? If you're any 17-year-old boys out there, if a 30-something-year-old woman jumps your bones, is that rape? Because I've been 17. I'm not letting a woman rape me. Actually, sorry. I am going to let a woman rape me. Sorry. If I didn't want a woman to rape me or take advantage of me, I'd put my hand down and I'd go, I'm good. You're 17. 17-year-old boys are strong enough to take care of themselves, aren't they? So you're 17. You got raped by a 32-year-old? He probably went home and called all his boys, and they had a got-raped party. And they was all dapping him up, and they were doing shots. Get out of here. 17-year-old boy raped by a 32-year-old attractive woman? Rape me when I was 17. I was begging. I should have wore a shirt, rape me, when I was 17. I was dying to get raped. Didn't happen too much, unfortunately. So I just hated the fact that they bunched the whole Harvey Weinstein thing with a 32-year-old woman raping a 17-year-old boy. I don't like the wording. I don't like the wording. Is it against the law? I believe so. Is it unethical? Oh, it's on the cusp of ethics to me. It's on the cusp. Because at the time, you can't tell me that you took the 17-year-old boy. You say, thumbs up or thumbs down. If it's thumbs down, she's ugly. It's going to be thumbs up 95% of the time. Trust me, I've been a 15-year-old boy, and I'm old now, and it's still thumbs up, by the way. That's just the way it goes. So it just was really weird to me that everything got bunched together like that, and I just said, no way, I can't let it go. Now, Cindy Edwards didn't believe or agree with anything I said, but that's okay. For all you music fans out there, you know, there's a lot of Michael Jackson fans talking about accepting people because they're talented. Michael Jackson did Rock With You, which allowed him to touch boys for many, many years. So good thing he made that hit. And everybody knows that the biggest selling album of all times was Thriller. And I will say was Thriller because it was overtaken by the Eagles' greatest hits. Now, I'm a huge Eagles fan. I love most of the Eagles' music. I saw that documentary on the Eagles, and if you haven't seen that, that's something you have to see. If you're just a fan of music, and if you don't think that you're an Eagles fan, I promise this. After you watch the Eagles documentary, you will be an Eagles fan. That I promise. Because after I watched it, and it might be 3 hours long, after I watched it, I just went, you've got to be kidding me. I never knew I was a huge Eagles fan. Because, you know, growing up, listening to the radio, that was a time where the Eagles were big, Boston was big. And it just seemed like Chicago, it just seemed like Eagles, Boston, and Chicago, everything was kind of melded together. It all seemed like the same band to me. So for many years, I would say, who sings this? I love this song. It would either be the Eagles, Chicago, or Boston. Now I know the difference. I know all the Eagles songs, and good for them for overtaking Michael Jackson. Some people say it's not fair because, you know, Thriller is an album. And theirs is a best of. So I don't know if there's any best of Michael Jackson, but it's certainly not going to be surpassing that Eagles album anytime soon. Now, for those of you to watch the VMAs, and I did not, it's like these award shows now I find to be disgusting, and it just seems to be prostitution, really. And with the death of Aretha Franklin, it just happened. They put, you know, they paraded Madonna out there, which is hit and miss anyways, because she just looks weird now. She has weird teeth, and she just looks hungry, and she just looks weird. I used to be a huge Madonna fan. Express Yourself and all the material and all that stuff. That's good Madonna. Now she just looks hungry. So they paraded Madonna out there to give a tribute to Aretha Franklin. First of all, I can think of a lot of people that are more Aretha Franklin than Madonna, okay? But I can accept it. But she went up there for 5 minutes and basically talked about Madonna for 5 minutes. instead of glorifying what Aretha Franklin has done throughout her career. So the VMAs, I think all these award shows, they're becoming disgusting, and they're becoming overly political, and there's not much we can do. If you talk about, I'm not going to complain about it because, you know, if you're an actor, you only have so many pedestals to verbalize what you want to get out there. If you're an athlete, you only got so many pedestals. So if you're bitching and moaning about something, I'm never the one to say that's not the time and place, because that's up to you. You just got to deal with all the crap afterwards. That's for sure. Now, they found that young lady in Iowa, unfortunately, and they found her dead, Molly Tibbetts. And she was killed by an undocumented immigrant. Is that a big deal? Sure it is. And the thing is, when things like this happen, when I turn on one station is this undocumented immigrant. Oh, we got to keep them all out, blah, 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 blah. And we don't have to keep them all out, but we got to keep them out, that's for sure. And the other station is just completely keeping that out. Like, you won't hear, and you won't hear illegal immigrant at all. So my thing is, I'm always in the middle. Okay, you got the, when you're watching Fox News, Fox News is acting like the left wants every illegal immigrant in our country killing people, and then and you watch CNN, and they're just really not even really bringing up the fact that he was a legal immigrant. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not Republican. Who doesn't want illegal immigrants to stop coming here? Who doesn't want that? Let's do. I was a legal immigrant. Legal. Okay. Then I became a citizen. So I did it the right way. So I have no problem with immigrants at all. If you're here illegally and you're killing people, or just period, let's just figure out a way to get people in here legally, because we're the land of opportunity. But for this Molly Tibbetts, the second that she was killed by this undocumented immigrant, I went, oh boy, oh boy. And when I'm watching all this stuff happening with Manafort and Cohen both pleading guilty, and they're going to flip-flop, okay? There's no doubt they're going to flip-flop on somebody, 100%. There was a time where we thought that nobody would ever flip on Trump. It's the time is changing now, I'm telling you. Because if you look at the beginning and the team that Donald Trump put together, there ain't many left. And my problem with it is this. What does it say for your credibility if every single person on the way in is fantastic and is an a-hole on the way out? What does that do for your credibility? It doesn't matter if he's talking about, you know, it's funny, he doesn't talk bad about Manafort. He won't, okay? He won't. He hasn't said much about Cohen yet, because Cohen hasn't really flipped on him. But everybody, like Jeff Sessions, if Jeff Sessions isn't the biggest bitch that I've seen, you won't let somebody talk bad about you in your face, right in your face. You're a powerful man. You're letting everybody around you talk bad in your face, including the president. The president called you a pussy 5 times in your face the other day. And you were saying, oh, I'm not going to let anybody try to bully me. Dude, you've been getting bitch slapped since the beginning. And he's basically been Trump's bitch. And Trump said the only reason why he got the job was loyalty. Boy, I tell you what, that's effed up. Amorosa. Trump used to love him some Amorosa, okay? Amorosa told us all we should bow to Trump. First of all, I don't know which one I hate more, Amorosa or Trump. It's equal, because that bitch Amorosa, you know, she laid up in the bed with, you know, with the devil. So that's what you're going to deal with. Nobody feels sorry for you, Amorosa. Nobody buy her stank book and either, okay? I don't want to hear anything she has to say. I believe every word she's saying, but she ain't the one to say it. All the things that we're going to sit there and we're going to debate whether we think Donald Trump used the N-word. Why are we going to waste our time doing that? Anybody out there think he doesn't? You don't? You really don't? Think about that for a second. I think he would look pretty comfortable saying it myself. But then again, who am I? You know, Trump came out and told us all if I get impeached, you're all screwed. You're all going to be poor. If I get impeached, the economy is going to crash. Now, if you're his vice president, Pence, you must think, well, if you get impeached, well, I'm going to be the president, and why can't I run it like you do? So, you know, Donald Trump is pretty much telling us that without him, United States of America would, you know, cease to exist. Because anytime I see him speak, he seems to speak negatively about every single regime that has ever been in White House. Not just Trump, not just Obama, not just Clinton, all of them. He speaks badly. He speaks poorly on all the regimes, every last one. And when you're looking at the economy, our economy is flourishing. I think they had a record amount, the longest bull run in history, almost 3,500 days. I think it's been going on since 2009. But Mr. Trump, you didn't get into office in 2009. It's been going straight up since 2009. You're just on the back end of it. And when it corrects itself, which it has to do, then what? So right now, everybody's flourishing. It's wonderful. It has to correct itself. All economies correct itself all the time. And for him to say Manafort is a good guy, he's a fraud and a crook. That says a lot about our president, that he's going to say that Paul Manafort is a good guy when he's a crook and he worked for the enemy and got paid millions and millions of dollars by the enemy. How is that a good guy? When did that come about? And I've never seen somebody deny. Look, if somebody accused me of, we'll say, rape, okay, and I didn't rape them, I would say it one time, I didn't rape anybody. I'm not going to talk about this again. For Trump to be waking up at 1 a.m. and to be tweeting out no collusion witch hunt in capital letters, I haven't seen anybody more guilty in my life. Nobody was talking to you, Donald. So you woke up at 1 o'clock or maybe didn't go to sleep, and he literally tweeted no collusion witch hunt in all capital letters. Dude is going crazy in front of us, and we're allowing him to go crazy. And Donald Trump is making politics, and listen closely, he's making politics business, and that's what everybody wanted. Nobody wanted a politician. They wanted a businessman. Now Donald Trump is making politics cutthroat like business. Now you have people walking around the White House with recorders on. Now you have people walking on eggshells all over the White House. Nobody's ever been able to say anything negative about Donald Trump at any time, or else they get fired. So the mentality and the mindset of everybody in the White House is mafia, snitches. That's all. Our White House is full of mafia type mentality and people waiting to snitch because they don't want to go down, because they know they're going to go down. It's just not a great feel going on in our world right now, especially not in our country. There's not a good feel. There's just a feel that everything is crooked. Everything is supposed to be backwards. And when people catch the president doing something, and this is the out right now that Republicans have. This is their out. Anytime you bring up anything the president does to this, like in the modern day, they're going to bring up some old stuff that an old president did, a Democratic president. That's not okay. It's, well, what about Clinton? What about what Clinton did? Let's talk about the president we have today. Let's talk about, I had this discussion on the Mike Calter show the other day. You know, people were talking about whether the president is racist, and I stopped the show and I said, does anybody here think he's not? And they're like, well, this answer, yes, there's two answers, yes or no. If you have to bet your house whether President Trump is racist or not, you're going to vote no, give me your house. You lose. Because it's just not something I'm going to debate over anymore. That's not a debate. Whether he's a good president or not, we could debate that. But whether he's a racist, let's stop debating that. Let's stop debating that. And, I don't know if there's a lot of African-Americans listening to me or saying, you're wrong, he's not racist. And, you know, if you're somebody that says, well, Ian, you're overreacting, he's not racist, just go back and look at the tapes. The tapes never lie. That is a football statement. The tapes never, ever lie. Now, if anybody wants to get in contact with me, it's Ian Beckles at RadioInfluence.com. I am all over the podcast waves. On Monday, I come out with In the Trenches, which we talk a lot of football, and our Buccaneers have a lot to talk about, so that comes out on Monday. On Wednesday, I have a cannabis podcast where we have Trulieve and Tetra Health Centers. We have guests in, and we talk about what's legal, what's not legal, what's prescribed for what. So if you're any at all curious on any of the cannabis world, you want to check out the Ian Beckles and the cannabis podcast, which comes out on Wednesday. And I think I have the most fun with this podcast here because I get a chance to talk a little politics, a little pop culture and things like that. It's kind of like what I do on 102.5 The Bone. So I appreciate you guys listening in. Let's hope all the mess in the White House gets better. I don't know if it's going to get better before next week's show. But let's hope we have some positive things to talk about, because I swear I would like to talk some positive things. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Stay out of jail this weekend. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles, and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor. Flavor. Bringing that flavor.
This is a Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
I've known Urban Meyer since he was a young student assistant coach at Ohio State. I was working with the Cleveland Browns on Belichick's staff. He's a young assistant coach. Assistant coach, just starting out, little student assistant in Ohio State. Came by and visit. He's a young assistant at Bowling Green as an assistant. And I actually made a phone call on his behalf to get him an interview, pushed him to get a job at Notre Dame as a receiver coach. So I talked to Skip Holtz, who was working for his dad, Lou, at the time. I've lost all respect for Urban at this point. It's a compilation of things. You know, it's for a guy with a house full of skeletons in Gainesville and now Columbus. He probably was at his worst publicly last night. Like a pouting child that was made to appear, he embarrassed himself. He embarrassed Ohio State. He embarrassed the entire coaching profession. For someone that claims to have a certain honor code, he's a man with very little honor, very little integrity. I really respect his ability as a football coach. I recognized it pretty early, got to know him, thought a lot of him. I wouldn't have recommended him for that job at Notre Dame. I was the guy that introduced him to Bill Belichick and essentially started that friendship. I'm embarrassed today.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.